And you might like to open your Bible to the first epistle of John, and in chapter 5. First epistle of John, and chapter 5. Perhaps we can just stop a moment. Our God and Father, we've opened thy word, and Spirit of God, bring it home to our heart and head, that we would have the immediate benefit of your presence, of your power, of all that you have in mind that is to be ours in Christ. And our God, we're going to thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. And as we look at this particular thought, as we do it, just think of Sunday school, and we're going to go what we did in Sunday school. Now, here's the other side of the coin. And God, in his most wonderful way, has made it. First John, back to First John. First John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, picking up if I can, and reminding you, God is helping us. And so John is used as a penman to help us what? To confirm and affirm the Gospel of John, the 21 chapters that tell all about our Lord. He is to be believed and trusted in as God, because he's God, to be trusted in to save to the uttermost. And so 1 John, the epistle, near the last 100, almost 100 AD, the last living apostle, John is. And God uses him to what? To seal. Now, lots of apostasy is happening. Lots of problems are there in those years. Because what are we doing? Christ is risen. He's gone. And here's the disciples. Here's Christianity. And what do we do with Christianity in the light of Judaism and all the Gnosticism and all the rest of it? What do we do with it? And how is it true? Is it true? Isn't it true? Etc. So, 1 John is written to lock it in to the heart, to understand that when God saves, he saves to the uttermost. And as we shared with the cups the other day, reminding you, easy, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. But here's the cups to help you. Here you are. And you come to know the Lord as your Savior. And that's true. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, also, God places you in Christ, and God brings you in Christ into himself. So this is true right here and now, and right here and now, right out here in the middle of God, you are just like this, in the middle of God. Awesome. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Now, so 1 John. And it's helping us as we do it very quickly here. In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship. When do we have a unique relationship? When you come to know the Lord as your Savior and you receive him into your heart, you start that relationship, when you entered into Christ, Christ entered into you, and you enjoy a unique relationship starting that second. And that relationship is not something to sweat and worry about for 25 years. Verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So you need to understand the relationship, the fellowship, and the relationship and fellowship that is to be enjoyed. Not beat yourself over the head or try to do something to make it happen. It is. It's a unique relationship that God makes possible in His most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, what are you going to do? Verse 7. We're going to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So we're going to enjoy a unique fellowship, and we're going to understand it, having this our old sin nature that we carry with us all the time, and that we understand we have now a new relationship to Christ that is to be enjoyed and reckoned, calculate it, reckon it indeed, understand it to be true. It's true. It's just as true as your old nature, so you have a unique relationship to God. And therefore, it is to be enjoyed now. And having enjoying it in the light of your sin, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, we confess our sin, and we understand. So we aren't, when we say we're saved, God does the saving. And we understand we still have our same old self in Adam. And that Adam, and that's our memory, our experiences, our feelings, our fears, our faults, there they all are. There they are. We have them. And we have them. They didn't go away. But we're saved. We're saved. God saves us in a wonderful way. God brings His own presence into our heart by His grace. And we're to enjoy God and to walk in the light as He is in the light. Chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. We are in Christ. That's what we know. That's what we know, to be in Him. And to be in Him is to enjoy Him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Or if I can, in chapter 3. In God's love, we're to enjoy Him. And chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, N-O-W, are we the sons of God, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we're looking for His coming, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, this expectancy in Him, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. So we're looking. We're looking to God, and we're going to be like God. So we're saved in a most wonderful way. We're to enjoy the fellowship, and we're to do enjoy the fellowship until He comes and takes us home. And when He goes to do it, God's going to change us to be like Him, to enjoy Him in the fullest way without our old nature. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you would recall, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He, remember, we keep reading, no. It's what we do know, which we understand. That's why we're reading the Bible. I want to know what it says. There's all kinds of other books, theology and everything. That's wonderful. What does it say? What does it say? God doesn't go by the books of theology, Calvin and all of that we did. God doesn't go by that. He goes by His word. It's what He said, not what we said or think He said or we want Him to say. It's what He said. Therefore, we're looking to God's word, and God is going to tell us about the fellowship, about the experience to be enjoyed, and we're to enjoy that experience in spite of the fact that we still have our old nature. And in chapter 4, verse 13, as we read, he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to lock it in. I don't make it work. You don't make it work. We don't deserve. We didn't earn. We can't do it. There's no way on earth we can do it. You aren't going to do it. God didn't ask you to do it. God didn't ask me to do it. He gave the job to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that real. That's his job. I don't do it. He did it. We believe. Thank you. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, and just locking it in, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And again, that is simple, interacting in, just like in the cups. Verse 15, the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Not he in Jesus, he in God. God, Jesus Christ is God. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, verse 16, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, what's the point? Well, all of it out there that they were facing is to make all of this, this relationship, to make it invalid. This can't be. This relationship can't be. They don't believe it. It's impossible. Like the Jew would say, it's impossible for Jesus, a man, to be God incarnate, in God in his incarnation. It can't be. It just can't be. Hang on to that. And that's what the believers in before 100 AD, when the gospel, 1 John was written in there, what are they facing? They're facing all this coming at them. When they go home for lunch, when they go to the grocery store, wherever they do, turn on the radio, television, when they get ever, whatever, they're faced with it. It's coming at them like this, with vengeance, lots of power. Now, having said that little bit, therefore, the Spirit of God is going to pound home, don't lose this, what God has done. You're trusting in God's saving grace. Verse 17, wherein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And therefore, we're able to come, like we read in Hebrews chapter 4, 16, and that, we're able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. I'm able to look to God. Thank you. For sure. I didn't earn it. I don't have to make it happen. I can't make it happen. God made it happen. God made it happen when he entered my heart and put me in Christ, in himself. God made the relationship. So therefore, the fellowship, I'm to exercise it boldly. Not only that, we read in verse 18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So therefore, looking to God in his wonderful way, God, are we concerned about judgment? No. But think of what we did in Sunday school, it started to do. They are. How do you know you're saved? You don't know you're saved. You can't know you're saved. You don't know you're saved. On the contrary, that's not God's word. God said you better know, K-N-O-W, 55,000 times says it. You better know it. How can you possibly practice something that you don't have, that isn't real? So therefore, The word torment, hate that fear, there's no judgment. No. Christ took my judgment on the cross and died for me. Here's, just to see this way you're here, here's the word torment in verse 18, and slide over to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, picking up, please, verse 9. Here's the same word, torment, so you can see it, so you understand it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the unsaved, the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That's the word torment, punished. We aren't worried about such a thing. Why? Because God saves us. We pass from death unto life, John 5 and 24. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, we can. So God, here we are. So when we come to chapter 5, we're looking at the God is going to just say, listen, I've been trying to, God, the Spirit of God, in the first epistle of John, he's trying to drive home to the heart to understand that God has done a wonderful thing. And contrary to all humans, to the devil himself, God said, would you please pay attention to what I did? I really went to the cross and died for you. I really, really, really did it. Reckon, calculate, compute that it's so. Would you please do it? Now, what are you going to do, God? I'm going to drive home. Well, who's to say so? And I read this book over here. I read this thing over here. I read this theology over here. I read all these different things. Who's right? Who's right? God said, I didn't ask you to do all that. God, what are you doing? I'm going to want you to understand. There's no more. I'm in you and you're in me. Would you please reckon it and understand it to be true? Now, I'm going to tell you the best I can why it is so. Why are you doing trusting this? What's your reason? 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, God is going to give the evidence, the exercise of our relationship to God in a most wonderful way in Christ, to be believing God and all that God is, all that God is doing, is loving us, keeping us, is giving us, I'll read it, verse 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And we said the word keeping his commandments goes back up to chapter 3 and verse 23. This is a commandment. And what are the how do you sum up the Ten Commandments, etc.? That we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Think of the love of God, first commandment, first four commandments, love God, the next part, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you're going to what? You're going to believe God and honor his word. And therefore, we're sliding back over to 1 John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and chapter 5. And verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not difficult, they're not grievous. The yoke, my yoke is easy, Matthew 11 and 29. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Put the yoke, get under the yoke, get under the yoke, lock yourself in. It's easy. I'm going to help you in every way to be able to go down the corridor of time enjoying the relationship as a saved believer. Not to be saved, not working to be saved, saved. How can you enjoy something you aren't sure you even have it? You have to know you have it so you can enjoy it. Therefore, sliding down, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God, everything that God does, overcomes the world. When God's in it, and when God's in it, God saves everybody, everybody that's going to be saved. When the heart believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is in them, and they overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, we're trusting God's word. Chapter 4, how are we going to do? Because in you, God is in you, and you are in God. And therefore, we read chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we're looking to God to outdo his wonderful thing in his most wonderful way. God is going to honor himself in a wonderful, wonderful way in all that he does because he is God. And you know, now God, think of turning the pages of history, going way back to Joshua. Joshua in chapter 4, I remember all those things we're doing in the evening and all of that. Verse 21 to verse 24. And God says, listen, you're going to tell, people are going to ask, why is Israel where it is? Because God did it. Did Israel do it? No, God did it. How did they get out of Egypt? God did it. How did they get across the Red Sea? God did it. How did they live 40 years in the desert with no water? God did it. How did they cross, get into the land? God dried up the Jordan River. And God says in Joshua chapter 4, and the world knows. The world doesn't know about you, Israel, but they do know about me. The God of Israel opened that Red Sea. The God of Israel kept them in the wilderness. The God of Israel opened the Jordan River 25 miles. That's what he did. Made it dry during the flood season. God, Israel, the world said all around, they know that I am your God. Israel, I am your God. They know it. Now, having said that, Isaiah 45 for a moment. And then Isaiah and chapter 45, picking up if I may. And you will note, the world sits there and says all kinds of things. If I may, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies drop down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Yet the potsherd, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Let the whole world struggle together like a bunch of clay pots, trying to figure everybody. How? We look at all us humans, trying to figure out God, to make ourselves God. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, that maketh thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, that begetteth thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Well, what am I, a male, female, what am I? Woe to people are talking like that. verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, commanding me. For God said, look to me, for I have made, verse 12, the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have done all of this. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 17, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That's why we're on it, not Moon or Mars or somebody someplace else. You're going to spend a lot of money. You'll learn a lot of things, but you won't find anybody. You won't find anybody. Not informed to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in dark places of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. I'm going to go and honor my wonderful person. Chapter 46. And verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like unto me. Declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. God is telling what? I'm the one that did it. You want proof? You want assurance? You want a witness? You want to know why it's true? Because I did it, said God. No one else did it. So you want an explanation for anything? God said, you better talk to me, because I'm the witness. I'm the one telling you. So pay attention. 1 John, if we can. Okay. 1 John. Back over to 1 John. And you'll catch it. That's what I want you to see. God's wonderful, wonderful person. And in the process. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God, we're looking to you, God, to do what you do. You're going to go on what? You're going to affirm for us that need confirmation, so that our confirmation has much assurance and affirms. So we're no more having to question, to wonder, am I saved, am I not saved? To what do I do, don't I do? No more, God said. Quit that, don't do that. I want you to know, without any question, I am going to bear witness of myself. Now, when I tell you something, he said, like we just read in Isaiah, there's no one to compete with me. I'm the creator. I'm the one that died. I'm the one that makes it work. So there's no competition. So you listen to me. Here's all the people talking and all the books that are written. Here they all are around us. You bet they are. But they're not me. So pay attention to me. We pay attention to Calvin, Luther, Wesley, etc. Pay attention to me. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of that, this is the victory overcomer. So, when we come to chapter 5, whosoever cometh the world, even our faith. So we're looking to God. That's why we're looking to his word. What is faith? Faith is resting on what God has said. So therefore, in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what you understand. Jesus is God. When you received him as your Savior, he is in you and you are in him. Back and forth, you keep saying it, God, except John 15:5, except you abide in me and I abide in you, the same can you produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. So therefore, chapter 5, and verse 6, and this is he that came by water looking at, he's the Son of God. Is he God? And who's going to, who is Jesus? Now, remember now, the people, the Corinthians, Corinthianism. That was a way to, everyone's looking at Jesus trying to do something. So, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea. When he was baptized, God came to him. And he, for 3 1/3 years. Before he was crucified, God left him. So what do we have? We have God for 3 1/3 years, and God was helping in Jesus. But when? But Jesus is not God. He's not God. No, God used him, like John, like David. God used him and disappeared. That's what Corinthianism. And that's what Andy won. Now, is Jesus Christ God? Yes. God didn't come down and use him for a few days and then quit. No, Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, verse 6, for there are three that bear record, witness, the word record, witness. It's going to, see the word witness in verse 6. And then you're going to go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's going to say it, same word, differently. God's going to say, witness, 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 witness. God is the witness. That's what you're going to read. Now, so we went back to verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And God is going to go and do what he does. And it's this very strong contrast. God's going to say, like in verse 6, he came by water and blood. And then it says, Christ, even Jesus Christ, by water and only blood. By water only and blood. In other words, he reemphasizes water and blood. Do you understand? Water and blood, he did it. He actually did it. Water and blood. Pay attention. Now, and the Spirit of God bears witness, because the Spirit of truth. So what's he bearing witness to in his most wonderful, wonderful way? He's bearing witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the crucifixion. Before I do that, go back. Oh, back over, if I can, to Matthew chapter 13, chapter 3, Gospel of Matthew and chapter 3, if I can. Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 3, picking up with my maid. And you remember, he came by water and by baptism. So therefore, it qualifies him. John, Matthew, chapter 3, going directly at his baptism. John's baptism was unto repentance, not salvation. He was preparing the Jews to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord, the Apostle John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said that. And they asked him, are you Elijah? Are you? And John said, no, I'm not. Then that's when he said, I point. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John did that. Now, and so John's baptism was preparing for Christ to be crucified, to identify with Christ. So when we read Matthew chapter 3, if I can, verse 15. Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it now, be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, John the Baptist was not going to baptize the Lord. He would not do it. And the Lord had to tell him, you have to do it, John. I want you to mark the beginning officially and very publicly my ministry. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm the right one. for the right reasons, to do the right thing in the right way. I'm going to do it. So I want you to mark it, and that's my baptism. So therefore, verse 16, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and unto him he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. God mocked him. Spirit of God and God the Father said, this is he. Who is going to save us? Is Messiah going to come? Is Christ going to come and fulfill all the Old Testament? This is him. I'm telling you, said God, like in 1 John, by water and by blood, I'm telling you, I identified him publicly, so you know it. You know what? He was baptized by John. He had to be told, tell John to do it. John wouldn't do it. Because what? He's going to tell you, he's the right one for the right reasons in the right way. He's going to go to the cross. He's the right person. How are you going more? Because of the gospel. You'll know him. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he was risen according to the scriptures. God's word from Genesis to Revelation is going to confirm he's the right one. He's the right one for the right reasons. And you'll know, over, if I can, in the light of that, over to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, picking up, please. Not only in his wonderful baptism to make us right, but you will read, as you know, picking up, please, verse 1. My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, witness, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They had to believe Christ is the right one. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the right one. So here's all the world telling you, he isn't the right one. And God said, would you mind, listen to me. I happened to send him. He is the Son of God. He's Son of God. I had him baptized publicly. And I stamped it, said God the Father. I said, this is my beloved Son. Now, what more do you want? So then you're going to all question it again. And then you're going to yell, crucify him, because you don't believe. You should have believed what I told you. Therefore, in God's wonderful kindness, and as you know, God has to help us in every way. So now, back in the light of that, in the light of God has to give us the righteousness. And as you know, and over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter and chapter 1. And you will note, if again, 1 Peter chapter 1, by water and by blood, God said, I mocked him, and I'm telling you, I am the witness, said God. God the Father said, I'm the witness. I did it. I'm telling you, I saw it. And as you know, hold your finger right here and go over with me to Psalm Deuteronomy chapter 19. We're coming right back to Peter. Deuteronomy and chapter 19. And you remember, here's at least the starting of to think about it, so you understand it. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness, 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. And as you turn the pages, God said, let two or three witnesses. God said, I have two, the water and the blood. The water and the blood. Two. God said, I got two witnesses. I point to them. And back over to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And God's going to go and confirm his most wonderful. This is my beloved son. So now, picking up if I may, if I can, and witnesses, and you'll notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifest, made clear for these in these last days for you. You're able to go and see in this most wonderful way, in this wonderful way, God's wonderful, wonderful work. Over to 1 John. And 1 John, picking up, if I can, you'll notice, please, you'll notice in verse 6, it says, this came by water and the blood, even Jesus only by water and blood. Now, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, God the Father, God the Son, the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Three witnesses, God in his wonderful essence, being, nature, is three in one. He said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We all agree he died on the cross, and we did it. We sent him to the cross. He went to the cross on our, because we sent him to die for your sins. Therefore, witnesses, that's in heaven. And heaven says, he says who he is. He isn't who he is. Heaven says he is who he is. Heaven says I am. And not only heaven, but earth. Verse 8. And there are three that bear, not just two, but three. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit of God, water his baptism, and blood his crucifixion. These three agree in one. Is he the same person? Absolutely. So there's no question. So when God says he's done the thing, God did it. I didn't do it. I just received him as my Savior. That's all I did. And God did it. And the world doesn't want you to have it, to enjoy the fellowship, etc. Now, therefore, in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his Son. God said, listen, I'm trying to tell you. Heaven agrees. Earth, blood, water, and the Spirit of God all agree. So don't, when you listen to all the people that tell you all the stuff, etc., Corinthianism and everything, would you stop listening to them? Would you just pay attention to what I told you? I made you a new creature in Christ. And I put you in myself so that you're able to be here and you're able to be in my presence in Christ. So God, that's how we can enjoy God, because God's in me and I'm in him. And I can never be out of his presence, and neither can you. And so you'll enjoy him. God said, listen, I'm the witness. And people say, well, how do you know what that book says? Doesn't matter what the book says. God said, I am telling you, he is who he is in you. So don't argue with me. I created the heavens and the earth. So please don't have a big discussion about it. Why don't you just enjoy it and believe me? Who do you want for a witness? I can't ask for more. Hebrews chapter 6 in closing. Hebrews, and in chapter 6, as you know. Hebrews chapter 6, and God giving confirmation and assurance. Picking up on me, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's enough. That's good enough for court. Used to be. Now, verse 17, we're in God. That's what men do. We're in God, willing more abundantly what we do, what we say, compared to God, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, God, you listen to us, I swear to tell the truth. Well, God said, now listen to me, that by two immutable things, unchangeable, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, encouragement, etc. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope, the expectancy, the anticipation that is set before us. We have fellowship with him, and we're looking to be like him. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil. Christ died and rose again, it seats at the right hand of God. Whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's there. He's in your heart. Watch this now. He's in your heart, and you're in him up here. Is it here? He's here. He's here. Anchored. He's anchored. This isn't going to go anywhere. This isn't going to go anywhere. It's anchored. Anchored. And God's the witness. God's the witness. Wow. You got it? So the world, and think what you're doing in Sunday school now. God, the world doesn't want us to understand. Because if you really understand this, God's going to go and bless your heart. And you're going to be a pain in the neck to people. Because you're going to be a little light. You don't even need to be. You don't mean to be bad. You are. You're just a little believer. Enjoying what? Enjoying God's presence in a world that only lives in darkness. And you enjoy God's presence. And you're real. And you're real. We're not trying to be churchy and real. I am real. I am real. God. Thank you for your patience. Our God and Father, set apart even these moments. And God, help us understand. God, the confirmation of truth. The Spirit of God, you're the Spirit of truth. Our Lord, you said, you're the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by you. So God, in the light of the truth, in the light of reality, God, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the affirmation. So that we can confirm all our doubts and ignorance. And so that we, in the light of confirmation, have affirmation. And we are to be know so, say so, and show so believers. And our God will thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.